Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Anoush Zomorodi, sitting in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And it's been nearly 50 years since Ralph Nader took on the auto industry with his book, Unsafe at Any Speed. That book led to congressional hearings and a series of automotive safety laws that were passed in 1966. It is in large part why we have to wear seatbelts today. Well, consumer advocate Ralph Nader has a new book out called Unstoppable, and he joins me now. Hello, Ralph Nader.
Good day, Manoush.
I want to start by talking about cars first, since that's how I introduced you. You have written some op-eds recently saying that the product safety disasters just keep coming. GM failing to let on about the ignition switch issue, Toyota settling a case about its cars accelerating when they weren't supposed to. Are we any safer, or are things just as bad as they ever were?
Oh, the cars are much safer today, more fuel efficient, better pollution controlled than they were in the 1960s. Over a million lives in America have been saved, tens of millions injuries prevented and diminished. But you have to keep watchdogging these companies. And if you get a culture of passivity in these regulatory agencies, like the Auto Safety Agency, the Department of Transportation, the auto companies become lax inside their own companies. They have the wrong incentives. They give incentives to inspectors or engineers for cutting costs, what Mary Barra, the CEO of GM, called a cost culture that they are going to overcome, she said, with a caring culture. And so we need stronger auto safety laws now. Bring them up to date, increase the penalties, provide better enforcement budgets and tougher protective standards for cars and trucks on the highway. And we hope out of this tragedy with GM and the ignition switch defect that Congress will act.
Ralph Nader's new book is called Unstoppable, the Emerging Left-Right Alliance to Dismantle the Corporate State. And listeners, do you have a question for Ralph Nader about safety issues, about reconciling Democrats and Republicans? Give us a call at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. Now, Mr. Nader, you write in your new book that there is an emerging left-right alliance that has the power to dismantle the corporate government tyranny. Basically, what you're saying is that there are issues that both parties can unite behind, right?
Yes, exactly. One of them is now operational, Manoush. It's the growing left-right support to raise the minimum wage, at least to the level it was in 1968, 46 years ago, adjusted for inflation. That would take it from the present federal minimum wage of $7.25 to almost $11 an hour. And that comes in 70-80% support, including conservatives and liberals. And that is beginning to play out in various states, legislatures, and city councils. They're not waiting for Washington, which is dragging its feet on this in Congress. They're moving themselves to go to $9, $9.50, $10, places like Santa Fe, California, Connecticut, even New York is raising it a dollar. So this is a message to the Walmarts and the Targets and the McDonald's. You just can't squeeze people to a point where they work full time. They can't even support the basic necessities for their family. That's gone operational. Another convergence between left and right has not yet gone operational, which is breaking up the big banks. There's a huge support against banks that are too big to fail. Therefore, they have to be bailed out by the taxpayer, as the Wall Street banks were in 2008. 2009. That has not gone operational. But another one that is going operational is rethinking the war on drugs, long sentences for small possession of marijuana, for example. That's being challenged by left-right coalitions in state legislatures. Also, there's good progress in reforming juvenile justice, not putting these kids away for long periods of time where they become recidivists. It's just not constructive. And Donald Ross, who's leading this at state legislature, backed by the MacArthur Foundation, has told me that again and again, when he goes into state legislatures. It's a left-right coalition to reform these backfiring criminal laws.
I mean, the way you put it, it all sounds actually pretty optimistic. Is that what you're trying to do, sort of get people from feeling so hopeless about bipartisanship?
Yeah, that's a very good point. In fact, this book could have been subtitled Getting Things Done at Last in America. So I've got 25 areas in this book where there's left and right agreement, but verbal agreement isn't sufficient in the polls or in legislatures. We have to move that agreement to operational action, such as I just discussed on minimum wage. For instance, there's a huge consensus, left-right, and I know this from personal experience in speaking to people in those categories, against the over-commercialization of childhood, where these corporations are exposing these kids by circumventing parental authority, direct selling of junk food and junk drink and leading to obesity and other bad things, violent programming. But that has not gone operational yet. That's just a revulsion by tens of millions of parents about what's going on, losing control of their kids to these marketeers. So it's a very exciting book. It's a short book. I'm going to have a launching book signing at the downtown Barnes & Noble store, Union Square, on April 22 at 6:30. We usually have a very good turnout down there. This one may be extraordinarily good turnout because people are looking for ways to get things done, and there's just too much corporate power dividing and ruling the left-right people who have many, many agreements to make our country better.
We have that information on our site if you want to go see Ralph Nader at the Union Square Barnes & Noble next week. But if you can't make it down there and you want to ask him a question right now, call us at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Now, Mr. Nader, I read a really interesting example about the Atlanta Tea Party Patriots who joined forces with the Sierra Club, with the NAACP, the AFL-CIO over the last couple of years over all kinds of issues, including solar energy. Is this the sort of coming together that you're talking about in your book? Is this the sort of level that it has to happen at?
Yes, exactly. There's a huge consensus behind solar energy. It doesn't matter whether people call themselves libertarians, conservatives, liberals, progressives. There's a huge opposition to corporate welfare, subsidies, handouts, giveaways, Wall Street bailouts. There's a big consensus to protect our civil liberties, revise the Patriot Act. We have even a consensus on unconstitutional wars. There was a group led by Ron Paul in the House of Representatives and Congressman Barney Frank. You can't get two more different people. And they were focusing attention before they retired on the bloated military budget and the enormous waste of taxpayer dollars. So we have, you know, there's a strong consensus for cracking down on corporate crime. If you ask the American people, never mind what your ideology and political inclinations are, do you think there should have been prosecution of the Wall Street crooks? Whoa. I mean, that comes in like 90%. So there's a lot of verbal agreements between huge majorities in this country. We have to now move them operationally into action and accomplishment, because our country's got a lot of problems it doesn't deserve, but a lot of solutions it doesn't apply that are kept on the shelf. And we've got to subordinate these corporatists who think that the government exists to serve giant corporations, regardless of whether they have any loyalty to our country or not. And another area of consensus left-right is to change those trade agreements, NAFTA and WTO.
And actually, we have a question relating to that. Let's go to Bob. He has a question for you, Mr. Nader. Bob, you're on the line from Queens.
Yes, I am.
What's your question for Ralph Nader?
Mr. Nader, I've been in the insurance investigation business for over 30 years, licensed in New York State. We're finding through impact analysis and crash analysis, many clone parts coming from Asia that are being put on these vehicles. And it seems like the government is not cracking down on these substandard, inferior, non-industry standard components. They're failing on vehicles, and they're causing accidents across the entire country. Why
well
isn't the
said.
Government doing more against this?
Thank you, Bob.
Well said. I've been on this, and here's what I found out. The government knows about these counterfeit imports, you know, about the scandal with defective tires from China, or the contaminated drug that killed almost 100 Americans on the operating table. It was supposed to be a blood thinner. It was contaminated, imported from China. The U.S. departments are going to China. They're trying to negotiate a consumer protection agreement. The Chinese, I think, have been dragging their feet. It's a multi-billion-dollar counterfeit industry coming from the Far East, and it is affecting everything from aviation parts to, as you say, auto parts and pharmaceuticals. 80% of the ingredients in the medicines you take, folks, are imported by the U.S. drug companies from India and China, where the monitoring and the inspection isn't really up to par. And these drug companies are already given all kinds of tax breaks and free research and development by the National Institutes of Health, giveaways of drugs to make more money. And they still want to make more money by exporting the manufacture of these drugs to these countries. There's no company in this country, Manoush, that manufactures penicillin. This is a national security issue, as well as the speaker said, a safety issue. So get on Senator Schumer, get on Senator Gillibrand, get them moving on this. They know about it, but they need a push from New Yorkers in New Jersey.
On the line is Marcia in Manhattan. Hi, Marcia.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, good. What's your question for Ralph Nader?
Hi, Mr. Nader. I was wondering if you had any thoughts about bringing both political parties together to address global warming, since they seem to be so far apart on this issue.
Gosh, that's a great question. I mean, it's starting to sound like the Earth needs both parties to unite on this one. No, Mr. Nader?
Very much so. The polls now are split. A little over half believe global warming is a serious problem, climate change. But there are a lot of companies, especially the oil and coal companies, who are feeding campaign money to members of Congress and getting them to raise a lot of doubts. This is an area for convergence, left-right convergence. After all, you know, when you have climate change, it doesn't say, well, I'm gonna flood conservatives but not liberals. Or when you have a tornado that's never been seen in its ferocity, they're not going to say, well, we're going to target liberals instead of conservatives. That's what this book is all about. This book, there's never been a book written like this, Manoush, because everybody's into ideology. And I have gone very deep and far into this. I've experienced this kind of left-right alliance to win battles in Congress. It started in 1983 when a left-right alliance did the impossible. They blocked the giant breeder reactor boondoggle project in Tennessee. And that was considered unbeatable. But once you get the left-right together on things like that, it becomes unstoppable on behalf of the American people, which is why I called my book Unstoppable.
I want to go to Andrea in Maplewood on 5. Andrea, I think your question is about what's your question? Go ahead.
Actually, I'm calling because I wanted to honor Mr. Nader. He's a great American, and his advocacy has really helped the American people so much. I'm just wondering, what would you advise young people, Mr. Nader, to get involved in? Young people graduating or they're in college, what should they get involved in to help in this unstoppable movement you're talking about?
I would ask them to join a particular citizen group, whether it's environmental or neighborhood improvement or tax reform or peace instead of war, and then become experienced enough to connect to members of Congress or your state legislature. I don't think people understand that it's too easy to be overwhelmed here and look at yourself as powerless. And then you withdraw and you become cynical and you just drop out of democracy. And you know what that does to our country. So we got to recognize that 535 men and women in Congress who put their shoes on every day, like you and I, have enormous power. And if it's taken over by corporate power, swarming over Capitol Hill with their lobbyists and money, we're going to get a declining America, economically, socially, politically, you name it. So I would advise young people, pick a major area of your concern, connect with an existing citizen group, begin to learn the skills. Like anything else in life, the more you learn citizen skills, the more effective you're going to be and less discouraged you're going to be. And then focus on your members of Congress. You turn around Congress, you turn around the executive branch, the judiciary. It has a huge beneficial ripple effect.
Okay, let's take one last call. John from Brooklyn. Hello there.
Hi. I had a question for Mr. Nader. This is a great show, by the way. I try to listen every day. And it's about the gun industry, which seems to be the worst example of a lot of the things that he's talking about, corporate influence and lobbying, and the fact that they enjoy immunity from prosecution. And I wondered what it's going to take to overhaul that situation.
Thanks, John.
Well, I think former Mayor Bloomberg is going to provide a response to that. He is supporting a lobbying effort to increase the efficacy of bank background checks. I think the gun industry wants to make a lot of profit, and they're overreaching. Safety devices, for example, they haven't supported that as much as they should. And, you know, thousands of people are victims of gun violence in our country. So I think parents are going to be organizing. Former Mayor Bloomberg is going to appeal to mothers here. I think we're going to get a good debate for once and not a soliloquy on Capitol Hill. This whole idea of peace and war is part of this convergence as well. Before the invasion of Iraq, I counted over 300 ex-generals, admirals, national security leaders, former diplomats. They're all retired. They all spoke against the Iraq war, led by people like Marine General Anthony Zinni, and they had support in the Pentagon against invading Iraq because they knew it was based on false statements and cover-ups, but it didn't go operational. And this book is about how do you get left-right that already have agreed for years on these things to go operational. I mean, there's a huge consensus to give investors, shareholders, more rights over their company so the company bosses don't run away with high compensation and risky behavior that can crash the economy. Well, that's been a long time convergence between left and right. But we got to go operational. And this book has extremely specific steps on how to go operational, how to get it done, how to have a better society, how to have a higher morale in our discouraged country.
Okay, we have to leave it there. But, Mr. Nader, I have to ask, do you think that you're going to run for president again in 2016?
No, very doubtful. But I do hope that there are third and fourth party challenges. Otherwise, we're going to get a very dull, repetitious, cash-flooded presidential campaign that is unworthy of the American people.
Should Hillary Clinton run?
I never say don't run to anyone. If she wants to run, she has every right to run. I would oppose her, and I hope other people would oppose her. She is not the old Hillary Clinton. She's become an international militarist and a Wall Street devotee, getting $200,000 speeches from Goldman Sachs, which is a certified corporate crook.
Okay, we need to leave it there. Ralph Nader, you will be reading from your new book. It's called Unstoppable, The Emerging Left-Right Alliance to Dismantle the Corporate State. I believe it's Tuesday, April 22nd at the Union Square, Barnes & Noble. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Manoush. Thank your good audience. Give my best to Brian, by the way.
I will. I'm Manoush Zomorodi, sitting in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC.